A Weekend with Jason Dacey replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is the Beautiful Game segment here on Money FM 89.3 with Steve Dawson, Fox Sports Asia broadcaster, and Des Corkill, Asian football commentator. Both big Liverpool fans, and Liverpool heading towards Christmas, top of the table. Steve, 1990 was the last time they won the Premier League. They seem to have had a lot of bad luck in the Premier League since then. Do you have the sense that this could be their year?
We were talking about this in the office because a few Liverpool supporters at Fox Sports, and we were saying, you know, Liverpool's best, and this is Liverpool, who've won the domestic title many, many times.
18.
Thank you, Des. 18 times. But we're in a situation where a week or so ago, this was the best start in the history of the club. Mm.
And
a celebrated club, and they were still second. So, but now we're not. Now we're on top. And for all the wonderful football and the big scores that City seem to put up every week or every other week, we are ahead and looking good. We are points ahead of them, not just goal difference, but we've got an advantage there. And I think Liverpool have been consistent. You know, they've not blown teams away, but they've won games and they've shown that they know how to win games. The way City are playing, you know, they can't keep that pace for the entire season.
They did last season.
They're going to slip up, though, aren't they? I mean, they just did slip up. They're going to slip up at some point.
And so will Liverpool. I think you've got an issue here. They're hitting injury problems for the first time. Joel Matip going out and Joe Gomez not being available hurts them. If there's a problem to Van Dijk or Lovren, you're looking at Connor Masterson or one of the kids coming in, or maybe even dropping Fabinho. Back to centre-back. So the strength of the squad, which it will be tested over the next few weeks. Also, historically, the team that has the biggest wage bill wins the league. Leicester aside, the team that has the biggest wage bill wins the league. Liverpool have got the fourth biggest wage bill. They are overachieving. You cannot take money away from Premier League football because every statistic points that money wins you titles.
That's sad, isn't it?
But that's the way it is. And I've been against this for a long time. It's why I'm so pro-local football, which hopefully I'll get a chance to talk about later. Biggest match in the world takes place tonight. But anyway, so the team who pays the most tends to win, and Liverpool have got the fourth highest wage bill. Yeah, it's great. It's exhilarating. It's thrilling. I'm not putting money on Liverpool.
There's a website called Since Liverpool Last Won the Trophy, co.uk. 28 years and something like 225 roughly days. Margaret Thatcher was the Prime Minister of the UK.
Remember
George
it well.
H. Bush was the President of the US. Vogue by Madonna was the number one song. Peter Schmeichel hadn't signed yet with Manchester United, and he would go on to win 5 league titles. He had a son, and his son Casper won the 2015-2016 league title with Leicester City. I mean, that's a long time ago. I was living in the UK then. That's a lifetime ago. It wasn't even the Premier League then, was it?
It wasn't even the Premier League, and that's a very good point, because that's when money really did begin to kick in. So Man United had this great crop of youths. Liverpool went into a bit of a slump around about that time. So after Kenny Dalglish left, post Hillsborough, the trauma of all that, Liverpool went into a bit of a slide. But money really did come into play then, and those with money have consistently won the league since then. You just got to look at the economic statistics, and it's horrible for somebody who believes in football as the ultimate socialist game and the beautiful game. It's become the capitalist game, and I find it very upsetting in many ways. So the fact Liverpool are competing is great for me, and the fact they are exhilarating.
What about the fact that they're spending big money on goalkeepers and central defenders?
They got the money from Coutinho. Somebody else put it in. Liverpool's net spend is relative. It's within business means. It's within a reasonable business mean. Manchester City are funded by a state. So Liverpool, I can see, as a working project. Mm-hmm. The other thing I've got to say about Liverpool is what the owners have done. They've renovated Liverpool. You know, the part of Anfield is one of the most deprived areas in Western Europe. Mm. Not only in UK, Western Europe. The club has gone in, this billion-dollar spaceship has gone in, but John Henry and co, they've actually reinvested money around the Anfield area. It's unrecognisable from what it was when I left in Liverpool in 82. Yeah. And that, to me, is one of the real benefits of the money coming in.
And the new training ground coming in as well. A lot of money going into that.
Out in Kirby, so hopefully that renovates Kirby. Yeah. But less so there, because there's a lot of business attracted into Anfield. There'll be less so with a new training ground.
Yeah, it does look good around there, Jace. I was there a couple of months ago. That little area, just in the close surroundings of the ground, it looks fantastic. It looks state of the art. The shop is fabulous. Been there recently, Des?
The shop's fabulous.
I tell you what, I went in though. And it was a Tuesday afternoon, so not the busiest time of the week to do shopping at Anfield. So there was about 10 other people in there, and I think 7 or 8 of them seemed to be from Asia.
So, Steve, what do you think it is? Why has it been so long? Was it, with Hillsborough or Graham Souness coming in? Was it just bad luck? Because they were close a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I don't think it was bad luck. I mean, I've read, like Des, I've read many books on this. I mean, I watched a YouTube video of Graham Souness being examined on this, because you link Souness with the transition from success to a lack
mediocrity
of success. Yeah. And I think he said that he tried to do too many things too quickly, and if he'd had the chance again, he would do things differently, and it remains the biggest regret of his career, because I think he still loves the club, and what he achieved as a player was wonderful, but I think he feels that when he goes back there he's not embraced as a Liverpool man, because he went elsewhere and because he wasn't so successful as a manager. So I think it all started then, and I think things were changing, and I think he ripped up the boot room, didn't he, quickly?
Well, that's a fallacy. The stadium was being renovated anyway, and it happened at the same time that he was there. It wasn't a conscious decision to get rid of the boot room. I think what he did change was he changed a lot of players very quickly. He got rid of a lot of leaders.
I mean, philosophically, he got rid of
but
the boot room.
Physically, they say, but it wasn't his decision. That whole main stand, which it was an archaic, that main stand. And so that was being completely renovated to make room for the media, because the old media room at Anfield, I don't know if you ever went in there, it was tiny, literally tiny. 15 people maximum could get into there. Right. So they were planning to put in a big media room. That just happened to be in the area where the boot room was. That's how the fallacy, or that's how the theory goes. And Souness just happened to be in at the same time. Liverpool changed the way they did things. They used to change 2 players a season. Suddenly,
2 in, 2 out.
McMahon went. Yeah. Ronnie Whelan was injured. Good players, Gillespie went. Leaders disappeared from the team all of a sudden, and Steve McMahon never truly recovered. They were always competitive. 96 they were competitive. 2002 they were competitive. 2009 competitive. But they never really got those quality players back.
Didn't buy well either in that.
And now they bought well.
But now they're buying very
well. Now they bought
well.
Speaking to broadcasters Des Corkill and Steve Dawson about Liverpool, Steve, Jurgen Klopp, how big a factor has he been with Liverpool now, top of the table and looking pretty good to win their first title in 28 plus years?
Yeah, don't really want to talk too much about that. Don't want to jinx it. But I think Jurgen Klopp's universally loved on Merseyside now. I mean, he's been patient with his signings. You know, if there's money there, there's the temptation to spend it. And if you can't get the right person, then maybe you get the second best person. But I think he's been resolute in saying, well, if I can't get the person I want, then let's not bother for now. Let's wait until the opportunity comes again. The way we pursued Van Dijk over a period of time, at first we didn't succeed, but we tried again. And also, I think he's been rather fortunate in that some players have come up through the system that perhaps he didn't initiate, but he's been a little bit fortunate with that. But his purchases have been marvellous, and the money people have backed him very well. The fact that they spent so much money on Alisson Becker, and it's really paying off. That save he made in the last minute
against Napoli, to get them to the Champions League.
I mean, context is always important, and the fact that, you know, if that had gone in, we'd have been out of the tournament.
And we remember what happened in the Champions League final, right?
Well, exactly.
The gaffes.
The thing with Klopp is that he gets the city of Liverpool. It's a strange city, Liverpool. It is. It's
quirky.
It's one where we feel a bit put upon, because an awful lot of economic issues have come upon us, some self-inflicted, not all.
Used to be a communist council, right?
Yes, we've had our political moments as well. But Jurgen Klopp has come into this very working-class city, and he's bought into it. He's into the community, a bit like Rafa Benitez was. Rafa is widely loved and admired by the people of Liverpool. So is Jurgen Klopp, because he's bought into the city of Liverpool. And that is so important. It starts the work from Shanks. He's a German Shanks. That's what he is. He's got charisma. He's funny. He doesn't take it too seriously. He's got a quip. He's got an arm around the player's shoulders. He's a good guy who happens to be a magnificent football coach.
I was reading a good story about how the successful coaches these days have to be able to deal with millennials, the Trent Alexander-Arnold, and it's the putting the arm around a player. And this is why they say Klopp, Gareth Southgate, people like that are successful. And the old era of managers, I suppose, the Fergies, I suppose.
The hairdryer treatment.
Yeah, it's just not going to work.
Well, Fergie had this fierce reputation, but you ask anybody in the game and they've got he's got the reputation of being the most caring guy. Calling managers when they were sacked. I was just reading about Neil Warnock when he went down with Sheffield United. The first person on the phone, as he should do because they played a weakened team, but the first person on the phone was for Alex Ferguson. So I don't think it's a new phenomenon. I just think it's a continuation. The good management in football is arms around the shoulder.
All right. Well, we're going to have more from Steve Dawson and Des Corkle and Liverpool a little bit later on here on Money FM. Stay with us.